Good evening. I'm North State Public Radio music director Nolan Ford. I'm interrupting Evening Jazz tonight to present an interview with legendary pianist and music producer Alan Toussaint, who will perform on the Chico State campus at Laxon Auditorium this Friday, November 21st. Toussaint was born in New Orleans, where he discovered a passion for music at a very young age when his parents purchased their first piano. As a teenager, his music career began as a studio pianist, spending most of his time in various recording studios. Toussaint would later discover a talent for composing and arranging songs for others. Some of the hits he's best known for include Southern Nights, performed by Glen Campbell, and Fortune Teller by the Rolling Stones. Toussaint has been inducted into both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well as the Blues Hall of Fame, and the list of famous musicians he's collaborated with is incredible. Paul McCartney, Dr. John, Bonnie Raitt, Elvis Costello, Etta James, and many, many more. All of these iconic performers were at some point guided by Alan Toussaint's ability to understand and craft popular music. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Good morning, Alan, and thanks for speaking with me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We're on a good tour that I'm enjoying myself.
Where are you currently at in your tour, and how has life on the road been treating you?
Well, it's been wonderful. The audiences have been very inspiring and highly receptive. And we're right now between Fairfax, Virginia, on the way to Roanoke, Virginia.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with your extensive musical background, can you tell us a bit about how you got into music as a performer and eventually became a producer?
Oh, as a performer. Well, I started out playing the piano as a very young child, of course. And I started playing on recordings as a teenager because I was known for one who could usually play whatever was on the radio at the time. So I was called in to play piano. Dr. John and I were parallels. We were in the studio at the same time coming up. He was the guitarist and I was the pianist whenever I was there. And when I wasn't there, he was the pianist and everything else. But I got started playing professionally on recording. In fact, even before then, when I was 13, we started a neighborhood band with Luke Smith Diglin on guitar, who was a young genius. And it was a neighborhood band, and we had a wonderful time, and we played in places where we were too young to be, but it was a good place to get started. So that's my early beginnings.
How old were you when you first started traveling and performing music on the road?
On the road, I started at 18 with Sherlyn Lee. I played with Earl King on some short performances not too far away from home when I was 17. But when I was 18, I took to the road with Sherlyn Lee. They had hits like Come On Baby, Let the Good Time Roll, and things like that, and Feel So Good. And that was my first extensive tour, and my last one for many, many years, because after that stint with them for about a year or so, I acquiesced into the studio, and which I started working with the record company, Minute Records, and I was in my comfort zone, and I stayed there, and I didn't tour at all.
Now, you have this extensive background as a master pianist, performing in the studio and performing live. What a lot of our listeners might not know, though, is how successful you were as a producer in your career and how that really took off, writing songs that were made famous by other performers. I imagine this is probably like having to choose one of your favorite children, but who are some of the artists that you've worked with that you were especially proud of the music that you created with them?
Well, definitely Lee Dorsey. I wrote so much for Lee Dorsey. We had a wonderful time in and out of the studio because we spent a lot of time just being in the city and moving about, living in the same same general community. Lee Dorsey, of course, and early Aaron Neville and Art Neville as well, and Irma Thomas, of course. She was the only young lady in our early days that was in that particular group of people. So they were very much favorites. And, of course, as far as people from the bar, Patti LaBelle, which included the three ladies, was quite a marvelous experience because they brought such theater to in our midst. I was just really delighted to have that other kind of energy brought to New Orleans. So that was a very special time. And of course, being with Paul McCartney, who recorded his Venus and Mars album in the studio, which I played on a couple of sides, was really fine to witness such a marvelous producer who knew how to go towards the magic, and he knew when he got there. And he had the group Wings at the time. And of course, my collaboration with Elvis Costello has been one of the highlights of my entire career. Well, it's getting with other musicians. It's a luxury to work with Elvis Costello. He's, no one carries more information, more love, and more respect for the music than Elvis Costello. And he's an extraordinary guy, as well as musician. He's well-versed in a multitude of subjects, and he's a sincere individual, and just a lot of love and care.
You know, I've got a chance to watch you working in the studio and also interviews with Irma, who you mentioned a moment ago. And it was really a pleasure to watch how you operate in the studio as a producer. It seems you have this very calm demeanor, it seems that you just treat everybody with respect, but you're also very clear and direct in your instructions. And I don't know, it just seems that everybody, the respect you show them, they send it right back to you. Would you like to comment on that or your approach to working in the studio at all?
Well, that's my zone. That's my favorite and most comfortable zone. And the studio is about setting up a proper atmosphere to get the best out of people, and especially the artists, because it is about the artists. So whatever you can do to set up a good atmosphere where the artists can deliver their best, that would be the best you can do. And, of course, to treat all people with respect, you can get the best out of them. And that was a learned behavior for me because I was in charge of recording sessions as a very young man. I can recall that I didn't have my people skills together yet. I was so enthralled by the music and the opportunity to be bringing what I imagined to life in studio that I was so involved in getting this music together, till I overlooked the human aspect of it all. It's firstly about the humans and then the music. But I'm so glad that I learned that early on. So it's about setting up a good atmosphere. That's what I think is one of the most important key about producing.
Absolutely. Speaking of a good atmosphere, you've been performing on this tour with accompaniment from the Preservation Hall Jazz Band. How did that collaboration come about, and how has it been traveling and performing together?
Well, the group Cammy put this tour together, and what a wonderful idea it is, and it's very comfortable setting. The band goes on and plays for about 20 minutes without me, and then I join them for about 20 to 25 minutes, then they lead me on to play solo for a while, again, another about 20 minutes, and I call them back out. So it's a very comfortable situation, and it's enjoyable for us on the stage, and according to the audience, it translates very well. I'm having a good time, a very good time.
Southern Nights is one of your most popular songs. I imagine that's one that you play without any accompaniment at the show, or is that are you joined by the jazz band for that song?
Well, we close with that song, so it's with the band. I'm doing the up-tempo version, as opposed to sometime when I'm solo, I do the original version, which was very slow and more of a storytelling. But we close the show with it, so it's up tempo, and the band plays it very well.
Cool. I look forward to hearing that. I also wanted to ask you about something that I learned by watching a documentary about you. in 2005 when you lost your home to Hurricane Katrina, and all these unreplaceable arrangements that you have composed and so many material possessions. It's been about almost 10 years since that happened. How has the rebuilding process been for you since then?
Oh, it's been wonderful, and there's some things that won't be rebuilt, like all the memorabilia that I lost, and of course the arrangements as far as the actual sheets and paperwork, that'll never come back. But as far as my life, it's been wonderful since Katrina. In fact, Katrina was quite a blessing to me in some ways, because we go through much of our lives not knowing how much we're holding on to that we can live without. And Katrina certainly taught us all a lesson about that and what's really important and what's not. So it's a fine time, the aftermath of Katrina. There was some new collaborations that would never have happened if it wasn't for Katrina. And the effects of it all is still going on. And the city, of course, New Orleans, is building in a marvelous way. There were things we should have always taken care of long before Katrina, but Katrina came along and fixed us. So we had to look into things we hadn't looked into before. So we're all flexing new muscles and having a good time doing it. And there are surprises and just a wonderful time. Rebuilding is quite wonderful.
Well, I find your attitude really inspiring, and I think it's great that you're able to remain calm and positive and just keep moving forward with creating new music and new memories and memorabilia.
Oh, yes, yes. It's giving you something that was not in the natural scheme of things, and that's quite exciting.
Now, in all your years of traveling and playing, have you ever made it to Chico, or is this going to be a first-time experience for you?
Been to where?
To Chico, California.
No, I haven't. I have no idea where I'm going.
Well, it's going to be exciting to have you here. It's a very rich arts town, and a lot of people will really appreciate a legendary musician like yourself coming into our town. I was wondering what the difference is like for you. You know, do you notice anything in just the vibe of the audience, or is there anything that's perceptible that's different about performing in kind of these small rural towns like we have up here in the North State, or versus as opposed to performing in the more big music cities and into those audiences?
Well, with this set that we have, it's been pretty consistent, I must say. We've been performing before wonderful audiences and so well received. So we stick to a good format, even though we may change a couple of songs, especially during my set. But it's been very consistent, and so I haven't gotten to notice much difference yet.
Now, growing up in New Orleans and becoming a professional musician in that city, I'm wondering what you thought about as you discovered new cities and started collaborating with other people from other towns and everything. I'm wondering what separates New Orleans from the other big destination cities for musicians and music appreciators?
Well, from the musician's point of view and the upbringing and what the ingredients that goes into musicians from different areas, I can truly say that New Orleans, some of the most unique things about New Orleans is this geographical location. It's down at the bottom of the boot of Louisiana, and it hasn't kept up with the pace of the rest of America, you might say, which is always speeding towards the future, which is a very good thing. But I guess maybe having to do with our geographical location, we have held on to old world charm a little longer than other places that had to keep up with the speed of the time. So we've held on to traditions longer than many other places. I think that's some of our ingredients. Also, we have that group of Mardi Gras Indians and the Mardi Gras, which is another kind of music and for another reason. And we also have the street brass band parades that still is a part of our society and a part of who we are. And Professor Long has in our some of our ingredients. Those are some elements that I think are unique about New Orleans.
Are you still arranging music for up and coming performers these days?
Oh yes, I still arrange. I love to arrange, and I write every day. I do something musical every day. I wake up every day to get to music.
Well, we're all very excited here in Chico, California, to see you perform this Friday night at Laxon Auditorium. Is there anything else that you'd like our listeners to know about the upcoming show this Friday?
Well, I'm just definitely looking forward to being there. All of California is beautiful, so I know the place is going to be beautiful. I'm looking forward to this particular audience.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for speaking with me today, Alan. It's really been a pleasure to be able to talk with you, and I'm really looking forward to the chance to catch your show this Friday night.
Thank you, sir. Please let us know you're there.
You can catch Alan Toussaint and the Preservation Hall Jazz Band this Friday, November 21st at Laxon Auditorium on the Chico State campus. This is Nolan Ford. Thanks for listening to my interview with Alan Toussaint. Hope to see you at the show.
It's precious beauty to lie deep beyond the eye, and it goes rushing through your soul like the storm is told.